It's a very good afternoon, Niall Boylan, and just for a special interview today. And I get asked on a regular basis, actually ever since the referendum on abortion, because at the time I wouldn't tell anybody my opinion, because of course I was on radio and I have a duty to be impartial. So I didn't, you know, and I gave equal sides, of course, to the pro and the choice side. But here's the thing. I've been asked on numerous occasions, now, what's your stance on abortion? And I'm going to be honest with you. My stance is I respect democracy. That's my stance on abortion. I morally believe it's wrong, and I morally don't agree with abortion. I'm not a Christian, but I'm probably the most religious atheist you'll ever find. But I morally think it's wrong. But I would never judge somebody because I can't walk a mile in their shoes. So I would never judge a woman, or if I knew a woman or a woman told me she had an abortion, I wouldn't cast judgment on her. She made that decision, and she made that decision consciously. But I don't personally agree with it. But the one thing I do respect is democracy, and the majority of the country voted in favour of it. You can argue about the referendum and how it was held and the way the government kind of pushed people into a yes vote with promises, of course, that they would limit it to 12 weeks, that they would allow a 3-day cooling off period and all of those other things. And for a lot of people, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Well, OK, I'll accept democracy, provided it's safe. Well, I was quite shocked when I saw a story, and it was in the Grip Media, and it says, why are the media ignoring the abortion scandal that almost killed a woman? Now, that kind of headline is bound to grab you, isn't it? And this week, Grip broke a shocking story around abortion in Ireland that showed that the woman's lives are being put in danger by the blind and willful determination not to provide ultrasounds when women seek abortion, presenting an alarming and disturbing case where a woman could have died. Medical experts working in Limerick Maternity Hospital said that the practice of not offering ultrasounds before prescribing abortion pills could lead to maternal deaths. Niamh E. Breon is an author in Grip Media, and she joins me on the line. Niamh, good afternoon to you.
Hiya, Niall.
Niamh, you couldn't ignore a headline like that, because no matter whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you would have to say to yourself, well, you know, absolutely, we respect democracy, but it must be safe. And this doesn't seem to be safe, does it?
Well, here's the thing, Niall, and maybe I'll talk about the case and then come back to that point you just raised there, which is that it is being ignored. You know, you're not seeing this story on RTE, you're not reading about it in the Irish Times or the Irish Independent. And we're being told consistently, and we have been told for at least a decade, that, you know, women's safety is paramount in relation to healthcare, in particular healthcare around abortion, and that in fact we were told that we should repeal the Eighth Amendment precisely because we were told we needed to do so to keep women safe. Yet we have this case that was written up, by the way, in the Irish Medical Journal. This is not, you know, an anecdote. This is not hearsay. This is not somebody sharing information on social
media.
Yes,
it's not a red herring story or something like that. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. This was written up by doctors working in obstetrics and gynecology in Limerick Maternity Hospital. And they wrote up, you see this very often in medical journals, where doctors will think that a particular case is so important or that you have so much to learn from a particular case that they'll write it up in a medical journal where it's peer reviewed and then it's accepted and published. And they wrote up about a case of a woman who went for an abortion and she was given abortion pills. And if people think back to 2018, when the abortion law was being put through the door, and probably people didn't follow that closely, really. You know, the referendum was over, they were going to legalise abortion, and people didn't follow the ins and outs around the law. But Carol Nolan, the independent TD, put forward a very important amendment to the law. And she asked Simon Harris to put a clause into the legislation, which would ensure that if a woman was having an abortion, and she was getting the abortion pill, that she would get an ultrasound before that abortion, okay? And the reason for that is because if you don't have an ultrasound, you can't see where the baby is growing. And sometimes women have what's called an ectopic pregnancy. And that's where the baby comes down the fallopian tube. If you think back to your biology class, okay, the sperm hits the egg, and then the egg comes down the fallopian tube and becomes embedded in the womb where the baby grows. But sometimes, and it's not as rare as you think, right? The baby gets lodged in the fallopian tube or somewhere outside the womb. And what happens then, as you can imagine, fallopian tube is quite narrow, right? The baby continues to grow and the fallopian tube bursts. And that, as Dr. Trevor Hayes said, is a life-threatening gynecological emergency.
What would happen? Sorry, pardon my ignorance, Niamh, because as a man, obviously, I don't understand as much as women do. But in a normal pregnancy, in a continued pregnancy, what would happen in those circumstances in an ectopic pregnancy? What would happen?
Oh, it's always life-threatening. Always life-threatening. Like the fallopian, and before you had ultrasounds and things like this, okay, very often, suddenly the woman would be in huge pain, there would be bleeding, everything would get worse very fast, do you understand? And we brought to the hospital, it would be an emergency situation. And nowadays what happens is that doctors, of course, have to intervene immediately, they have to remove the tube to save the woman's life, okay? There's no chance the baby can survive this either.
Okay.
And that's the topic.
So that was the point I was making. So generally the unborn baby won't survive that.
Yeah. So where the abortion pill complicates matters is this, that in normal circumstances, if your pregnancy is ectopic, okay, and you're 10 or 12 weeks and you haven't had a scan yet, you will start getting abdominal pain and you will start getting vaginal bleeding. And you'll know there's something wrong, okay? Every woman knows this. And you'll go to the doctor or to the hospital. They'll probably realize very quickly it's ectopic pregnancy, they'll intervene and they'll save your life, okay? If you've gone and got the abortion pill and you haven't had an ultrasound, okay, this is what Karen Nolan and the doctors were telling Simon Harris in 2018, then it's really easy to confuse the symptoms of the ectopic pregnancy, especially before it starts getting worse fast, with the symptoms of taking the abortion pill.
I'm assuming taking the abortion pill is essentially just like miscarrying when you take the abortion pill. So a woman could easily confuse, you know, the idea of miscarrying or that what presents itself as miscarrying with what would be happening in a situation where the fallopian tube bursts and you're bleeding.
Exactly. So you're getting abdominal pain and you're getting bleeding, okay? And you're thinking, okay, I was told to expect this perhaps with the abortion pill. And very often, of course, women share these stories amongst themselves and on internet forums. They found that, the pain and the bleeding after taking the abortion pill was a lot worse than they expected, right? So the woman, in this case, undoubtedly, and this is what medics have said to me, would have just thought this is part of the process with the abortion pill. She ends up being rushed to hospital in an ambulance. They have to resuscitate her. Yeah, you know, her life is in danger. And they managed to save her life in the maternity hospital in Limerick. But of course, the reason why the doctors are writing up this case is they're ringing a loud alarm bell to the government. And they're very clear about this. And people can look up this case in the Irish Medical Journal. It's linked in the book story. They're very clear. They put it at the top of the case study. They want people to hear this message. They say that if this routine practice where women do not get an ultrasound before being given abortion pills continues, if that continues, then you're going to see women dying. They said you're going to see mortality.
Those who would be against you, Niamh, sorry, just to interrupt you. Those who are against you, of course, and you are pro-life and you've said that many occasions before, but those who are against you will say, well, this is just the pro-life movement looking for a reason to give women an ultrasound so that when the doctor gives the woman an ultrasound before, you know, thinking about having an abortion, that she might change her mind. And that's what they'll say to the argument, although I see a very good argument for what you're saying because we don't want women's lives to be in danger. But they will see some sort of other meaning or other plan by pro-life, you know, in relation to this particular amendment to the law.
Yeah. Well, you see, I don't think it matters that I'm pro-life. And I don't think it matters what the stance of the doctors who wrote up that case in the Irish Medical Journal. They probably don't have a public stance. And probably, or maybe some of them are pro-life and some of them are absolutely in favour of legalised abortion, right? So, I mean, the abortions have been performed in maternity hospitals now, so it's not the case you've had all these pro-life doctors writing articles in medical journals. What they're concerned with is women's sleep. And they are saying, if you continue with this practice where you're not giving ultrasounds before women take the abortion pill, you're putting women's lives in danger. And I talked to Trevor Hayes, who's people might know him as a consultant obstetrician gynecologist in Kilkenny Hospital, a very well-respected senior medic. And he said it's now paramount. That's the word he used, paramount, for the Minister for Health to intervene and to change this process.
But do you really think that's going to happen? When you've got a minister at the moment, you know, listening to lobby groups who are not only, who don't agree with you and don't agree with that, they also want to remove the 3-day waiting period. They want to extend from 12 to 24 weeks or even further if they had their way, you know, and they're basically trying to loosen up the laws rather than tighten the laws. I mean, it's unfortunate, and I think you're absolutely right, because nobody wants to see women's lives being put in danger, no matter how rare it might actually be, but they don't want to see women's lives in danger. The chances of them doing this are probably very slim.
Well, I would have agreed with you, I think, Niall, a month ago. And I think something happened on March the 8th that was like a political earthquake for government and for and for the opposition, for Sinn Féin as well, you know, who are very supportive of liberalising these laws and who would be very opposed. Like Sinn Féin were up there with Simon Harris and Stephen Donnelly in the Dáil in 2018 when Carol Nolan was offering this very reasonable and sensible amendment, which was backed by nurses and doctors. And like they savaged her, you know what I mean? They tore into her. It was a really nasty, ugly debate. And they insisted, you know, you just want to do this because you want women to have an ultrasound, you want them to see maybe the baby's heartbeat.
Yeah, and become all maternal. Yeah, yeah.
What would be wrong with that anyway? But in any case, yeah, they're not saying that now. These are doctors in Limerick Maternity Hospital who are sent, they're ringing a bell, like, they're ringing a loud alarm bell to the government saying, if you don't do something, women's lives are in danger and they're going to die. But last, I think you're correct. Like, if this was January and this case had written up and we were talking about it here now and the media were doing their best to ignore it, you're probably correct that, you know, Harris and the rest of them would just say, yeah, we can do whatever we want. But on March the 8th, there was a political earthquake in this country when the government realised that they are listening exclusively to NGOs who are telling them this is what the people want. The people want to take mother out of the constitution. The people want an even more liberal abortion law. And there's no basis for any of this. You know, we're in a situation where the abortion rates have gone through the roof. Almost 10,000, it looks like now, in 2023. And there's a great many people, I think, who voted yes, who are deeply uncomfortable with that.
But we were told at the time, we were told by those who advocated for the time that it wouldn't increase the numbers. The numbers at the time were a little over 3,000. Now we have tripled those numbers. We've gone up by, so quite substantially, which really makes a liar out of those people who kind of advocated for it at the time. But I mean, what has the minister's reaction been? I mean, Stephen Donnelly, is he aware of this?
Yeah, so Fatima Gunning, my colleague in British media, she's in one of the people working and kind of investigating this case. And she wrote to Simon Harris, was Minister for Health, of course, in 2018. And he said it would be a waste of scarce resources to provide ultrasounds for women who are having abortions. But now you have like these very senior doctors. You have consultant obstetrician like Trevor Hayes. You have Nurses and Midwives for Life coming out and saying, look, we're telling you you're endangering women's lives if you don't act on this. He's now Taoiseach, of course, or Taoiseach in waiting, Simon Harris is, and Stephen Donnelly is Minister for Health. And I think that what's really important is that this case, that no cover-up happens in Ireland, that we don't allow this case to be covered up and life moves on. And the next thing we're looking at, a case where the medics perhaps can't intervene.
Well, I mean, the very reason we have abortion nowadays is because campaigners, of course, campaigned from the moment and the day that Savita sadly passed away, which was a woman whose life was put in danger at the time, or so they claimed was put in danger and sadly died and passed away. And that's the very reason that we have the abortion referendum, the very reason that we have abortion laws in Ireland right at this time. So there's no reason that a similar case, you know, where you have a woman who nearly lost her life, and as you say, it's only a matter of time before maybe a woman does lose her life. And even then, it doesn't seem to be getting the attention that got. So it does seem a little bit one-sided, doesn't it, from that point of view, the media?
Well, it absolutely does. And the medics I'm speaking to have said this. They've said that if we ignore this ringing alarm bell, if we allow this situation to continue when the ultrasounds aren't carried out, it is just a matter of time before a woman dies. And that will be then. You know, that the book has to stop somewhere, doesn't it now? Simon Harris has been made aware of this situation. Stephen Donnelly has been made aware of this situation. I know that pro-life groups are contacting every TD in Dáil Éireann to say to them, have you read this case in the Irish Medical Journal? Are you cognizant of it? Are you doing something about it to make sure that women don't die? Because the law must change, absolutely has to change. And like really then, like the responsibility is on the government, isn't it? They promised abortion would be safe, legal and rare. They got where completely wrong. You know, the numbers have tripled. Compared to 3,000 women who have traveled, now we're looking at 10,000 abortions. They don't seem interested in safety, in women's safety. You know, when we're reading a case, and when you actually read a case, it's very distressing. Like, as someone who's had babies, the thought of like presenting at a maternity hospital, you're bleeding, you need to be resuscitated, you're in hypovolemic shock. Like, it's enormously scary prospect that women, increasing numbers of women, will be in that situation in Ireland's maternal healthcare system because the government simply won't act on this. And Niall, the reason they won't act, you're completely spot on about that too, is because it's not a medical reason. This is what Trevor Hayes, the obstetrician, said. He said their decision not to allow ultrasounds wasn't medical, it was political. You know, so that they don't want to do it because they think it's something the wife people might want, or the mother might hear the heartbeat, and that might
discourage her from having an abortion. Yes. Yeah, because of course when women hear the heartbeat, they become maternal, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
So they're brushing women's safety aside for a political reason, and that is absolutely unacceptable.
And where do we stand now? I mean, there was an awful lot of debate last year, particularly from People Before Profit and other smaller parties, Social Democrats as well, in relation to removing the 3-day wait period, in relation to extending the 12 weeks to 24 or beyond. Actually, they wanted to decriminalise completely, which essentially means that a doctor could perform abortion up the day before they're born. Where do we stand now? And I know Micheál Martin at the time, or was it Leo Varadkar, I can't remember, said they wouldn't be dealing with that right now. But where do we stand on that? Are they still pushing for that? Is that likely to happen, that we're going to liberalise the already extremely liberal abortion laws we have in this country even further?
Well, you see, I think Reed Smith, most people know, I think a lot of people would imagine Reed Smith is very far on the left, you know, so they would think if she brings forward a bill to the door, it's not going to get support of the majority of TDs there. But what we saw last year was that Sinn Féin TDs, who of course always vote on bloc for everything, you know, there's never anyone stepping out of line with Sinn Féin, all of the Sinn Féin TDs and some other TDs like Verona Murphy's Independent, like Neil Richmond of Fianna Gael, voted in favour of Reed Smith's bill, which means it's passed on to the next stage. And that bill would legalise abortion on demand to 6 months. Now, I think a lot of people would find out absolutely
I think the general public would feel a little bit duped, to be honest with you, because I remember at the time when we discussed it on a nightly or daily basis when I was doing the radio show at that particular time in relation to abortion, the majority of people who are even on the fence, who sat on the fence, which were probably about a third of the population who sat on the fence in the middle somewhere, they were kind of swayed by the fact that, okay, there's restrictions here. You know, there's a 3-day cooling off period. There's 12 weeks, no more than that. And a lot of them, by the way, also kind of felt they were duped because they kind of thought it was just in emergency situations. I spoke to one guy in the air after the event and after the result came out, and I said, did you vote yes or no? And he said, I voted yes. And I said, why? And he said, I voted yes because I wouldn't like to see a woman's life in danger, or if she was raped or had a fatal fetal abnormality. I said, that's not what you voted for. And he said, isn't it? Yeah. So I think there was a lot of people would feel greatly duped if we liberalise those laws even further. And I believe that should have to go back to referendum again if they're going to change legislation.
Yeah. Now, Reed Smith's bill might sink. If a government, if a general election is called before it comes back, and it probably will. But I think what's interesting is that parties like Sinn Féin and people like Neil referendum in March of this year, they're listening exclusively like to the National Women's Council, you know, to groups like this.
Well, we know their credibility is in tatters at the moment. Their credibility is in tatters at the moment after the last referendum.
Tatters, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know whether they listen to them.
That's who government was listening to. That's who TDs were listening to right up until a couple of weeks ago. You know, so because if you're only listening to people in this little bubble, Niall, you know, you will believe, okay, maybe people want to scrap the 3-day wait. Maybe nobody wants an ultrasound. Maybe nobody cares that women nearly die because you're not getting an ultrasound before an abortion pill. I think that, if you like, the political situation has undergone a bit of an earthquake since March. That doesn't mean that I think these vital, really important changes in relation to the ultrasound, that won't happen without, you know, pro-life doctors and nurses raising up their voices, without people making a fuss about this to ensure that women are protected. Must be done. Absolutely has to be done.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for drawing attention. The article, by the way, is in Grip Media if you want to read it there. Niamh wrote the article herself, and it's called Why Are the Media Ignoring the Abortion Scandal That Almost Killed a Woman? And you can read all the details, the shocking details about ectopic pregnancies there and how that can affect a woman if she doesn't have an ultrasound. And the warning is, of course, don't be using abortion pills unless you get an ultrasound, because from what Niamh and other experts are saying, it can be quite dangerous on those rare occasions that you could have an ectopic pregnancy. Just Niamh, just out of curiosity, what is the percentage of pregnancies that are ectopic? Do you know? Is it a small?
Yes,
I mean, don't get me wrong. And even if it's only 1 in 1,000, it's still too much. But what are the percentages?
No, it's actually, it actually occurs because, you know, like yourself, Niall, I was kind of thinking it was 1 in every 500. It's not. According to the most recent numbers, it's about 1 in every 80. So if you get 8,000 abortions, looking at 8,000 abortions, it could be this danger could be arising in 100 cases every single year. You know, if and of course, as the abortion numbers go up, that risk.
The more likely that is to happen, absolutely.
So it's not like a tiny, it is, when we're thinking of rare, we're thinking, you know, it doesn't happen in one in every 10, it doesn't happen in one in every 20. But one in every 80 is a pretty high number. And Trevor Hayes was explaining too that because women are having babies later, things like that, all of these things kind of impact on your likelihood of having an ectopic pregnancy. So it's a real and present danger. That's the kind of risk we're looking at right now. And as I said, like those medics, they wrote that paper for a reason. They wrote the paper so that the government would pay attention, you know, and then women's lives would not be endangered by this willful kind of determination never to give an inch, you know, towards the humanity of the baby, never to do anything that might show women that this is a baby that they're carrying. And their sole focus, I think, seems to be on that and on ease of access in relation to abortion. And they're even sweeping aside the considerations that they should be taking into account to protect women safely. And to me, that's really...
I personally find it quite shocking in Ireland that we have moved from a country who cared so much about the unborn child, and then of course that Supreme case, which based the Supreme Court case, which said the unborn had no rights, which they ran before the referendum. I just find it shocking that we have moved to that attitude, that we kind of don't seem to care as much as we used to about the unborn child. But mind you, what I always found fascinating was that I had a girl on the air in the studio with me during the abortion referendum, and she was pro-choice, and she kept referring to the unborn child as a fetus or a clump of cells and all the terminology. And by the way, I know there's terminology on both sides of the argument. I hear pro-life people calling people murderers every now and again. So there's terminology that's used, you know, triggering terminology. But she kept using this, and then she even called it a zygote at one stage. And I remember about a year and a half later, 2 years later maybe, she was out campaigning. Of course, she was one of the lead campaigners. And 2 years later on her Facebook page, I spotted a little baby scan. She was pregnant, and I was delighted for her. And she put the scan up, and she says, "Here's the first picture of my new baby." And I went, "That's quite ironic, isn't it? That you're now calling it your baby." But it wasn't a baby; it was a clump of cells 2 years ago. It's only a baby if you want it, it seems.
No, that's anyway. Because I think we touched, Niall, there on, you know, the fact that women very often find, like, leaving aside a topic of pregnancy in this particular case, and women have said anecdotally, and funnily enough, the Abortion Rights Campaign actually did include this in their report around the provision of abortion in Ireland, that very often when women do take the abortion pills, it's more frightening for them in terms of bleeding, in terms of pain, much more an intense an experience, I think, than they thought it would be. But of course, what we've learned from other stories is that very often they get a huge fright too when they see their baby, you know, because your body expels the baby after you take the abortion pills. And even though sometimes it might only be like a 10 or 11 week old little baby, they're shocked, really shocked when they see how fully formed the baby is.
I can imagine.
How you can find the baby. It's terribly upsetting. And, you know, until very recently, the HSE had up on its website the advice that you should flush what they call the pregnancy remains down the toilet. And I just think there's no respect for the mother or the baby there now. You know what I mean? There's no real...
Even you saying that actually is quite upsetting to listen. I know it happens, and that's just life, you know. And again, I say I respect democracy. Yeah. But even you saying that, you know, to flush it down the toilet, you're literally flushing your life down the toilet. Yeah. I mean, it is for a lot of people, maybe that's a realisation. But listen, thank you very much indeed, Niamh Breen. Thank you for joining us today and raising the issue. Thank you.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.